What's up, everybody, and welcome into the H&M Trucking Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus. Thank you all so much for being here with me today, and we got a doozy for you today. Episode 43, we got to get moving on it because we got a lot to get to. Today, we're talking about the advent of electric vehicles within the trucking industry. Now, I know that this is a hot button issue because it showed up on ATRI's top 10 issues facing the trucking industry. I've been pretty heavy on that study recently, and you guys probably recognize that. You've heard me say it a lot. And I think the reason that I'm heavy on that study is because they polled just people in the transportation industry. They polled the people that matter when it comes to talking about the trucking industry. And a lot of times I feel like the news that we get is it's not always people that shouldn't be talking about the trucking industry. I don't want to say that. It's people adjacent to the trucking industry. You don't hear from a carrier owner or a CEO of a trucking company as much as you might hear from, maybe somebody that's involved in the legislation side of things. You might hear from the transportation secretary or a various congressman that's trying to get funding for his state for various issues, whatever the case may be. Now, obviously, there are great websites out there like Transport Topics and Freight Waves, which we also get a lot of information from. But the ATRI's top 10 issues is something that I'm going to look at every time I have a truck driver talk to me about an issue. I look over at that and I see, oh, yeah, that issue's in the top 10, or maybe it's not. But in a lot of cases, it is, because I feel that right there makes me feel like I'm on the right track. When you truckers are talking to me about issues, they're the same ones that are in this study. So that's why you hear me reference it so much. I figured I'd clear that up a little bit before we get fully moving today, because all we're talking about today is electric trucks. I've got a couple of drivers coming on with me later. Brian Whitesides and Tom Woods will join me to talk about their thoughts of electric trucks and what is going to happen in the future, or if it's happening too fast, which is something we're going to get to here right around the corner as well. But first, since we didn't do a regular episode last week with interviews of drivers and, you know, topics that were happening right here, we've just focused on H&M and how it was built from the ground up into the fabulous company that it is today. And that means that we missed some drivers to introduce you to. As new drivers for H&M, we've got a ton of drivers to catch up on today. I want to send a huge H&M Trucking Podcast welcome to the new drivers from the van division: Seth Grant, Brian Pennington, Clarence Jenkins, Jonathan Ferguson, Mark Freeman, Yosef Papasil, Anthony Frazier, Stephen Moore, Peter Barker-Homek, Richard Scribner, and Steve Williamson. How about it? That's a bunch of drivers to the van division all in one week. So about a round of applause for those drivers. Hopper division's got a couple coming on. John Kunasek and Carlos Diaz Ocana, who is a return driver. So welcome, John. Welcome back to Carlos. You'll love to see it. You love to see it, man. You really do. And why do I love to see it? Well, look, if we've got open seats, it means we've got freight. It means we're moving. Means the company's healthy. I understand that the rates aren't what everybody wants to be making right now, but we hold out long enough, that type of stuff will turn around. So without further ado, I want to get to the meat of the episode today. We're going to hear some clips from a really important person in the trucking industry. He is the chairman of the American Trucking Association's board. His name is Andrew Boyle, and we're going to get to that stuff right now.
From Omaha, Nebraska, to whatever lane you're driving, this is the H&M Trucking Podcast with your host, Marcus Bridges.
So what exactly is the American Trucking Association? Well, I'm over at their website right now because I want to give you a little bit of background on them before we jump into hearing these clips. ATA is what we'll go ahead and call them from here on out. Their website is really easy to remember. It's just trucking.org. And I went ahead and clicked on the Learn More tab because I wanted to know exactly what it is that these guys do. And I found a nice little summary here. It says at the top, "It's our job to ensure lawmakers understand the trucking industry and advance policies that support its future." The trucking industry is affected by a broad range of public policies. As a member-driven organization, ATA's official policy positions are decided by our member companies through a formal committee process. Policy committees are made up of companies of all sizes focused on specific trucking-related issues, including agriculture and food, auto hauling, cross-border and trade, energy and environment, government freight, hazardous material, highway infrastructure and funding, intermodal, labor and workforce, risk management, safety, security, tax and registration, and technology and engineering. So, what have you got with the ATA? Well, you've got a committee made up of people that are within the trucking industry that go to Congress and they advocate for things for the trucking industry. It's that simple. And here I've got, like I said, some clips from their chairman, Andrew Boyle, talking to Congress about electric trucks. Now, there's a few clips here, so let's go ahead and get to the first one.
While we share the passion for EVs and cars and late-duty vehicles, projecting an automotive construct onto trucking industry dynamics is a massive mistake. And let me be clear, if battery electric trucks had adequate range, there was adequate charging infrastructure, and utilities could deliver the power, we truckers would be delighted. But let me explain our reality. Today, a clean diesel truck can spend 15 minutes fueling anywhere in the country and then have a range of about 1,200 miles before fueling again. In contrast, today's long-haul battery electric trucks have a range of about 150 to maybe 330 miles and can take up to 10 hours to charge. So for the same 1,200-mile journey, we'd go from 15 minutes of fueling a clean diesel truck once to charging today's BEV 4 to 8 times for dozens and dozens of hours. And this is assuming there are chargers where you need them. We would need far more trucks to haul the same amount of freight, and each of those trucks would cost 2 to 3 times a comparable diesel truck. Converting the U.S. fleet of Class A trucks to battery electric would require a $1 trillion investment, which ultimately would flow to consumers. We welcome the opportunity to provide real-world, factual, and constructive input into the legislative and rulemaking process. We recognize that most people don't understand how the trucking industry works behind the scenes to supply the American public. But we can't allow unrealistic timelines, estate patchwork, and technically unachievable regulations to set trucking up for failure. Remember, we deliver food, medicine, baby formula. Failure is not merely inconvenient, it's catastrophic. Thank you, and I look forward to answering your questions.
So that was the beginning of Andrew Boyle there talking to Congress. That was kind of his intro to this entire interview that he had. I'll just call it that. And yeah, a lot of really good information there packed into like a minute and a half. Mr. Boyle talking about the $1 trillion investment that it would take to totally move America's trucks from diesel and off of, you know, fossil fuels into electric trucks. And $1 trillion floating to the consumer. I'm a consumer. And all I have to say to that is, how do I put this? Fuck no. $1 trillion. Like, we're paying enough taxes as it is. And listen, you're not only going to affect a lot of truck drivers doing this, but if you take many of them out of their jobs, because I am convinced that if you were to go full electric and snap your fingers and tomorrow everybody was in an electric truck, you're going to see a large portion of the current workforce drop out because they don't want anything to do with it. And I know that because they've told me, and maybe they will tell me later on this show. Hint, hint. Let's get to the next clip here of Mr. Boyle talking about the power suck that these trucks would bring to the infrastructure.
Mr. Boyle, we acknowledge they're heavier. We acknowledge they're more expensive. Maybe the incentives don't even cover the excise tax. What's the cost to insure a vehicle like a large truck that has these extra costs and weights and an infrastructure, frankly, not designed for 5,000 more pounds per axle and those kinds of...
Right, sir. Yes. And it's hard to tell because...
First of all, before we get any further into this, I got to congratulate Mr. Boyle here because how he's not laughing at this congressman right now is beyond me, because he is proving his point. The congressman is proving Boyle's point. The people that are making these laws do not understand the effect that comes down the line. This guy could barely get through, you know, 5,000 pounds of weight on the axle, and he doesn't know anything about the industry, and he's one of the people trusted to make laws for the industry. I'll let Mr. Boyle get on with what he has to say.
The consumer-facing EV product is so much further ahead, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about a very heavy-duty, under high-stress, corrosive environment. Just so we're clear on the scale of the issue, each electric vehicle battery for a heavy-duty truck weighs 8,000 pounds, and you need at least two of them.
So just in case anybody out there's as bad as math as I am, I just plug that into a calculator. That would be 16,000 pounds, not five. I don't know where that number came from.
So we're talking the weight of, you know, four or five cars. And my friends and peers in the industry nationwide who have tried to make efforts to put in, say, hey, I'm going to convert a dozen forklifts to electric, or I want to tee up a facility for 30 electric trucks. There is no power. The utilities come back, the cities come back and say, is this some kind of joke? One friend tried to put in Illinois a facility, tee it up for 30 trucks electrification. The city came back and said, this is some kind of joke. You're asking for more draw than the entire city requires.
For 30 trucks. 30 trucks.
And just to give you an idea, 30, 50 trucks, that's like a 5-6 megawatt application. The factory that makes the trucks is a 2-megawatt factory. Mm-hmm. So we're playing checkers right now, and we'd be delighted to have more choices. If the power and infrastructure is not available, it's not even a consideration for trucking. Yet California wants to make it effective next January. That's the only choice. No diesel trucks. No OEM is going to be compliant with the California CARB standard for a diesel electric truck starting in January. They'll have product due to credits and so forth, but none is going to be technically compliant. What are we talking about here? We're trying to serve the country and supply commodities that are essential to everyday life. So before any of this is not kind of a choice. We have the cart before the horse right now.
That's the best characterization of this entire situation. And that's where we got the title for the episode today from, the electric cart before the diesel horse here. And listen, states like California, they do this type of thing all the time. They think it's up to them to spur innovation and to, move things along into the future. And they think they know more than you because there's more people there than there might be elsewhere. And I got a real rough realization for California lawmakers here. There's more people in LA, okay? You have one giant population center, and for some reason you think all those people in that one spot know better than everyone else. I got to be honest with you, not a lot of trucking companies make their home in California because the taxes are so damn high and the cost of living is so high. Look, truckers, they come from the Midwest, man. If you want to find where the concentration, the major concentration of transportation companies are, I'm thinking, without any proof here, you're going to find them in the Midwest, in the South, maybe in the Southeast. I'm not seeing a ton of them come out of California. And if you absolutely wipe diesel off the map where California is concerned and they're the only state, what the hell are you going to do to get all of the consumer goods into California that you need? The only other option is to ship them from overseas. And again, we're talking about a cost that gets passed on to the consumer, which has been incredibly stressed for some time now. Let's go ahead and get to the third clip.
The cost issue for your new diesel truck in your business, how does that cost? What's the equivalence there for that and a electric truck?
So the upcharge is roughly $300,000. And it's true that...
Again, we have a congressperson here who does not know what she's talking about. You can hear her fumbling through. She's just looking for rudimentary vocabulary terms so that she can get out what she's trying to get out. And that there, again, illustrates the point. We're not ready for this if the lawmakers can't even speak the goddamn language.
roughly $300,000. And it's true that
that's on top of what the vehicle costs.
Yes, ma'am. The upcharge, the delta. And it's now, as my friends to the right of me here have pointed out, over the cost of ownership, that may a portion of that may be realized, but not nearly the $300,000. But at some point, yeah, it might be somewhat more viable. It's just that we are years away from it. And it's simply not an option because there isn't the infrastructure or power to get to them.
Okay, so in terms of, let's say if we're looking 10 years down the road, or if we look 10 years back, would that 300,000, we expect, I think, and you probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you expect, I expect that delta goes down over time as there's more or not?
So the economies of scale that have been discussed previously in the auto sector, where the market, the addressable market is exponentially larger in the millions of vehicles per mm-hmm. year. In trucks, it's a couple hundred thousand. So the market opportunity isn't such that you would have a Moore's Law for heavy trucks, for example. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you over the course of my career, I haven't seen truck prices go down much over time. Mm-hmm. But yes, could it be compelling in a total cost of ownership at some point? Perhaps, and we're not averse to that, but we're certainly not in position to even phase that in at a 1% level at current.
And the weight is an issue as well, both for cars and for, I'm concerned about, I know, I'll go to cars. Cars are more, are going to be heavier. EV cars are going to be heavier because of the weight of the battery and other things. What kind of safety issues are, and what kind of, state DOTs, what kind of reinforcements along the highways? And, is that all going to change? Accidents, impacts, all of these things I know are critical when you're looking at, transforming an entire fleet. And I don't know if in the trucking industry, by the time you add the weight to the truck, what does that do to the cargo? Because there are weight limits, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. So we have, each truck, heavy duty truck, electric vehicle battery would be about 8,000 pounds. And they're mm-hmm. typically in sets of two, three, or four. Mm-hmm. So as you add weight in that respect, you reduce the payload capacity.
Right.
She sits there and says, right, like she understands. And I'm not convinced that she does, but maybe a little bit more understanding there than we had in the prior clips. I mean, this is why we need things like the American Trucking Associations, and this is important. If you want to be involved, if you want to share your thoughts, whether you are listening to this as a driver or maybe you're listening to this as a company owner and wondering, hey, what could I do? I would get in touch with the American Trucking Associations. I'm sure that many of you already are. But not only is it a great foundation just for helping and advocating for truck drivers and for the industry in general, but there's a ton of information on the website. So again, stop over to trucking.org and check out ATA and all the good things they're doing advocating for the transportation industry. And not only what is right, but what is smart, or I guess you could say what is not just overwhelmingly stupid. But I've got some straight up reaction coming from two H&M drivers right around the corner. I'm not going to play them the clips. We're just going to have a conversation about electric trucks, and I can't wait to see what Tom Woods and Brian Whitesides have to say about it. It's time to bring a couple more drivers on and talk about the things that really matter here in the industry. And today, joining me for his first foray into the podcast is driver ambassador Brian Whitesides. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Now, Brian, real quick, how long have you been working for H&M?
I'm a rehire. I've been back with them for 3 months.
Okay, great. Well, welcome back to the show. Welcome back. I was calling H&M the show. Welcome back to the company. Welcome to the show for your first time, Brian. Thank you again. Also joining me today, you recognize his voice for sure. We've got H&M driver ambassador Tom Woods here. Tom, how you doing out there, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I can't complain. And, actually, I'm hoping that you guys might have some things to complain about to me today, because what we're going to get into here is the hot button topic of electric trucks. I've been reading article after article online. I've seen all sorts of legislation come through, especially when reading about California. And it seems like electric trucks are at least here to stay for the time being. And I wanted to get a couple drivers on just to talk about what your thoughts are in general on electric trucks. And we can get into the self-driving trucks as well. But first, Brian, I'll start with you. Have you seen any electric trucks out there in your travels?
Yes, I have.
And what did you think of it? Did you get to actually, you know, knock around and check it out, or did you just pass it on the highway?
I checked it out. I'm really not a fan of it. One, it's just going to cost the company too much to maintain with the batteries. I hauled electric batteries for cars before. I know the price of them. So it's just not going to benefit for a company. There's going to be a lot of companies shut down due to it.
And what is, as far as like the aesthetics of the truck, did you like or dislike? Could you tell that it was a different truck than what you've seen, or is it something
it
that really stood out?
Yeah, it was a different truck.
Okay.
It was a different truck. The power is not the same as a regular diesel truck.
Okay, gotcha. And did you, by chance, get to talk to the driver of that truck by any chance?
Actually, I was the driver.
Oh, you were the driver?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. So you've got some experience with these things, and you're not buying it at this point.
No, I was a test driver of one, and we pulled a 40,000-pound load, and it didn't pull well.
Feel like there was kind of a lack of power going up hills and things like that?
Yeah, plus the battery died down.
How much distance did you get out of the battery, Brian?
We got about 60 to 70 miles out of it.
Oh, wow. That's nothing.
Yeah, plus two, if you look at the battery price, I just hauled an H&M Porsche battery. Well, one Porsche car costs $45,000 for that battery, so you imagine how much it costs for a semi-battery to be replaced in 5 years.
And I'm coming to you next, Tom, because I want to know what your thoughts are. Obviously, you know, Brian's got some hands-on experience here, and none too impressed, which I can't say surprises me. How about you, Tom? Have you seen or gotten to check out or even been behind the wheel of an electric truck at this point?
I've seen the Tesla truck up on Donner's Pass over there in Kent, California. Mm-hmm. Looked pretty cool. It's badass. You know, I drive one. They gave it to me.
They gave it to you. What if it was heavy on problems, Tom? I mean, you just mentioned to me before we came on the air that you were getting your truck out of the shop so that you can get on the road here. Your schedule is a bit different today.
Well, I'm getting a stupid EPA car put on. We got to go here in Green Rivers and load at this chemical plant. They require you to have an EPA tarp, which is kind of stupid. Wind's blowing, product blowing everywhere over there. So I don't know why they have to have it. We have to have it. We got to put that on to get that loaded. So,
I gotcha. So, as far as the electric trucks were concerned, let's do a hypothetical here and say you've got one. Mr. James Fonda has decided to purchase Tom Woods' own electric truck, and you're in the shop all the time, and you're only getting, let's say, 400 miles to a charge. And that, I feel like that's being generous considering what Brian just told us. What do you think?
You wouldn't catch me driving one over the road. They're mainly trying to do it in big cities. Is what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to get done.
So kind of local, regional stuff.
Local, like within just say 100 miles, 200 miles of the home base or whatever. Like maybe the Walmart distribution warehouse or something like that.
Gotcha.
So and that's the rumor I've been hearing. So
okay, so you're not expecting to see him out over the road then.
No, there will not be over the road. They're going to be more. They're trying to cut down on emissions in the big cities like Dallas and San Antonio and Houston. You know, right now they're doing. Right now they got natural gas over electric, which you got a little natural gas engine running a generator, which is running the batteries. And I've already seen those down in Houston. So,
And also out there in California, you got Pepsi Cola company that's doing the test trial with the electric truck going up and down. They got Frito-Lay's, which is Pepsi-Cola company, doing the test trial. They're saying the Frito-Lay company is doing better with their electric trucks because of light load. Pepsi's not doing great because of the heavier load.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So they're looking at, they like he, Tom's saying, it's more a local thing, and they're looking at going over the road with it in the future. But right now, they're looking at local right now.
Okay, I got you. And it makes sense that hauling a bag of Fritos would be easier than hauling a 24-pack of Pepsi. So maybe that's how they're trying to mitigate those power issues, Brian, that you felt when you were behind the wheel. You think that's the case? Just lighter loads rather than trying to beef up the actual technology?
Right. And it's also going to be the cost effect to the company with the battery maintenance going to go up on every company. I mean, just like I said, I mean, a battery for a Porsche car, not even a Porsche, but just send an electric car, it's $25,000 to replace that battery in 5 years. You just imagine what it costs for a semi.
And I actually seen a video of a company out in California that's already got these trucks, and they got a system set up. This, you pull your truck under this awning, a crane comes out, picks that battery up off that truck, it actually unsnaps like a Lego, pulls it out and brings another one, sets it right down.
I'm just curious about the price of that battery.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't say anything about the price. I think they're pretty damn expensive.
Yep.
I think you're $60,000 probably.
Well, a Porsche is $45,000.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. And, you know, the other thing that I keep hearing about is that the infrastructure to charge enough of these trucks, I mean, and this is even a local thing. Like, they're talking about, you know, a charging station for maybe 100 trucks will suck the same amount of power as the entire city of, say, Houston. That's not feasible, right?
No, there was an experiment done, and I read about on it, and my wife did. There was a 40 or 50,000 square foot building, and it was like four Tesla cars took enough power to power that 40,000 square foot building. Four cars.
Wow. That's crazy. So if we were going to take this out, Brian, and kind of zoom out a little bit and talk about the future of these electric trucks, let's say that the technology catches up a little bit. Let's say that maybe they have a battery that can get them to go, let's say, 600 miles. They get the power taken care of. It's basically just the same truck, except for it's running on electricity. Is it something that you would drive if they can catch up to all the other things that you like about your semi?
I would say this, if they were looking to go in hydro where we can have battery and a motor, I would prefer a hydro because they got hydro cars out there and they're much better because my brother drives one and he loves it. So if they come out with a hydro truck, I think that'd be better than a total electric truck. What if the driver's out there on the interstate, his battery goes dead, he's total electric. I mean, he can't go nowhere. Whereas his hydro, it switches to the diesel engine. So I think the hydro system will benefit more.
And it probably would have like a system in it, kind of like my Chevy Silverado will kick down to four cylinders if it's not using all the power that the engine has. And then, of course, if I accelerate or head up a hill or something, it switches to eight cylinders. I assume that technology exists for hybrid cars as well and hydro cars like you're talking about, where all of a sudden you can just switch it to the correct power supply and it'll get you up said hill or it'll, you know, help you accelerate faster. Is that kind of what your brother's driving in, Brian, something like that?
Yeah, he's got a Toyota RAV4, and that's what he's driving. He absolutely loves it. He's getting, like, he told me, 50 miles a gallon on gas. So,
wow.
He's loving it.
You know, you're talking about these electric vehicles. You know, like I said, I've seen that Tesla up there on the Donner's Pass there in California, and he pulled up there beside me. And let me tell you something. He had a big load on. I think what they're doing is they're running back to Reno to Sacramento, San Francisco area. Just running back and forth there. You know, it's such a short range.
Mm-hmm.
Those Teslas are getting about 1,000 miles per charge, but they're not running them across the nation. You know what I mean? Because we, as the trucking industry, don't have no place for them to pull in. Let's say, let's charge our trucks tonight. You know what I mean? Because they're not able to do that.
Right. And the amount of power that it would take to build such a facility, it would seem to me like not only would you have to have a cash investment that is just bonkers, along with all the government grants that you would have to be eligible for, but you would need a completely new facility because, you know, I feel like a lot of people think one day there's just going to be a switch that gets flipped and all the diesel trucks are going to come off the road and it's all going to be electric trucks.
Never.
There's 100 years worth of infrastructure implementation that would need to happen before you can make it happen.
California's banning diesel. And
yes. They're going to say they're going to ban it. So basically what's going to happen is if you got to go into California, you're going to have somebody sitting on the state line that's going to take your product the rest of the way into wherever it's going to go.
Correct.
And do you guys think that that will harm California's economy more than help it?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what? Saying it, I hope it does, because I love going to California. I love going to California, but there are laws out there, the most stupidest damn laws you ever heard in your damn life. I'm not even joking.
It's ridiculous.
You know?
I mean,
it's saying this, they just found in Northeast Texas, in Arkansas, in Northeast Texas, Arkansas and Texas side, they just found the biggest worldwide lithium in the ground. They're fixing it. They're gonna mine it by liquefying it and pumping it out of the ground.
I think that was up in Oregon too.
Yeah. So you know they're gonna extract this lithium out of the ground by using a liquid instead of using strip mining like they're doing right now over there in Ukraine or wherever that's at.
And also, you was talking about self-driving trucks. I don't know if you heard of it. I don't know if you have, Tom, but the pilot truck stops down there in Georgia is equipped, getting ready to set up where these self-driving trucks to be able to come in. And these people go in there to do pre-trips on the truck, do what they got to do to the truck, and reprogram it and take off.
Oh, now I never heard that yet, but that sounds like something that Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia would do. And let me tell you something, Moway, look it up. If you get a chance, they're a complete autonomous vehicle, but there's somebody behind the seat of the truck, and they only run Interstate 10 from the East Coast to the West Coast. That's it. That they are, and I'm telling you, but I ain't never seen a truck have so many damn cameras on it in my damn life.
I saw one too.
You saw one too, Brian?
Yeah, that's weird. They're talking about in the future, all pilot truck stops will be able to do self-driving trucks, pre-trips, and all that throughout the United States.
Absolutely. And I don't care to have them, because guess what? What they're trying to do is I'm still going to have to sit behind the seat of a truck. I'm still going to have to sit here, and I'm still going to have to operate this thing when it needs to come to a stop, or it needs to, oh, wow, okay, truck, you want to self-drive yourself? Put those chains on real quick. Let's do that. Oh, you know what? Hook yourself up to a damn charging port. You know what I heard they're trying to do now. They're going to put sensors on the side of the road. You know, you see these little reflection deals.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to, this is just watching these future videos of how it's done, how it's going to be made, and all that stuff. I'm kind of into that stuff. And they're trying to put metal strips right down the center of the interstate. And what it is, each section of the interstate is going to have power going to it. There's going to be a sensor on the bottom of the truck. And every time it hits that, it's going to be like considered as a charging system to keep that truck charging, to keep it on a track so it does not get off track. Like my truck here that I drive right now, my Freightliner, my 2022 Freightliner, has got it's kind of like a self-driving mode. You could reach over here and push this button. When you're on cruise, the little steering wheel on the dash lights up blue. This thing will drive around a curve by itself, but you still got to have your hands on the wheel, but it will steer itself going down the road.
Yes, I drove one like that.
Marcus, that is exactly what happens with this truck going down the road. Sometimes it will get off track and try to take me into the oncoming lane or something like that. That's why I do not have that thing. I'm able to go down here and shut it off. That's why I drive and mine's shut off all the time.
So you're kind of worried about a Herbie the Love Bug situation where the thing all of a sudden develops a mind of its own and you can't control it in these situations. Is that true?
Yes, sir. In my Freightliner right now, there's probably about, I'm going to say it's about a 12-inch by maybe 8-inch deal on the windshield. It's got cameras and all kinds of stuff in it. What that does is that thing, while you're driving, it's sending information back to H&M, and they're seeing how I drive, how progressive I drive, how safe I drive, how hard I brake, how, you know, all that. It's this whole thing is doing this already. They're already doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you're passing a vehicle, you got sensors on the side, on the passenger side, not the driver's side, but the passenger side, and a little light on my doorpost over here on the passenger side, the little triangle. And when somebody's beside you and you're trying to get over to the right-hand side, it will light up and start beeping real loud.
I see.
The Volvo's got those, too, on the trucks. But it makes up like a car horn.
when you turn on a federal car, somebody throws a horn at you.
Oh, God, that sounds unsettling.
Yeah. It does.
And then if your truck moves to the left lane or the right lane, you'll hear the buzz, the noise.
And you want to say distraction. They don't want us drivers being distracted. Well, when you hear something all of a sudden honking at you, you're thinking that you've gone train over somebody or something like that. We're not just talking about H&M here. We're talking about all these other companies out here. Now, you hit a sore spot there, Marcus, on this deal. This is a sore spot.
Yeah.
You want to put all this shit on the truck and expect me to come out here and drive and be safe, but I got shit. Honk, honk, beep, beep. My feet's vibrating, maybe, because it's got that shit in it. Like, but you want me to be safe, but all of a sudden you got me jumping around because I've been thought I run over somebody or I hit somebody or what the hell is going on out here. But you know what they say? Oh, our insurance says we have to have it. Mm-hmm. No, you're saying you're getting a kickback because you got it in your truck, but you don't realize how much stress you're putting on the driver out here having these things in the truck. The companies want that because guess what they're trying to do, Marcus? They are trying to bring in people that really don't know how to fucking drive, excuse my language, and put them on the road and let the truck do the work for them, and they still could pay a driver to drive their truck just sitting there in the yard. That's what they're trying to do.
Brian, what are your thoughts on this stuff?
I agree with Tom. I mean, the only thing I would say I like is the right side thing. Let me know there's a car in my blind spot. As far as going to the right lane or the left lane and buzzing at me, or am I getting closer, beeping at me and all this stuff, that's distraction on me. I mean, I don't need all that stress. I mean, it's just, I agree with them.
How long you been driving there, driver? How long you been driving?
I've been driving since 2001.
Okay, I've been driving since 1998, okay?
Yeah.
I've been driving since 98. And I've got into trucks, and I drove all, and I'm not joking, Marcus knows this, I drove all the way to Sherwood Park, Alberta, Canada. I drove all the way to St. John's, Newfoundland, all the way up to the peninsula of Canada, up there where there ain't no highways, where it's dirt roads. I've been there. And let me tell you something, I've been there with trucks that don't have that shit, and I'm still here today driving, being as safe as I can. And all they're doing is putting more and more and more on top of us drivers out here and stressing us out. And the companies think they're doing us a favor. All they're doing is hurting us.
Yep.
You know?
It's an interesting take. Because it is all done, obviously, out of the mindset of being a safer driver out there on the road. That's what all these bells and whistles are coming in for. And, of course, insurance companies, they see that kind of technology and they're going to love to offer a discount around it. I've never told you guys this, but my dad was an insurance agent growing up after he got done working at the sawmills that he used to manage. And he did personal lines and, you know, homeowners and life insurance and things like that. But there were some semi-truck companies that he insured. And I'm glad that he didn't have to go through all of this back then as much as what you guys do now, because you know, insurance is, it's kind of one of those things everybody's got to have, but nobody wants. And when they start to work in all these little nuances about your policy that, oh, you get a discount if you have this and you get a discount if you have that, it makes you want to go out there and spend a ton of money in the foreground to save a little bit of money in the background. And I totally understand that.
Well, Marcus, I got a question for you. You know, you're bringing up all about electric trucks and all, and you're talking about these ding-dongs or whatever you call it. Think about these electric trucks coming out here. You think they're going to have that in those trucks? No. They're not going to have that in the electric trucks. They're just going, that's why they're getting electric trucks. So all these drivers complaining about all this mess coming in these trucks. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's going on.
I want to throw something up real quick, guys, and then I'm going to have to let you go, okay? Because I got to get in here and get checked in and all that.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying this. I want to say this, Marcus, and guys, this is the deal. This is for everybody out there. I watched, if you get a chance to watch the movie The Sound of Freedom, that's a true movie, that's based on a true story. I watched the documentary of the guy who actually did it. He was a CIA agent who decided to give his pension up and all that stuff for human trafficking. And he went after these kids, and these people were kidnapping his kid over in this other country, and it is a $115 billion a year propaganda for human, for kids anywhere from 3 years old up to 16 years old, and these kids are getting kidnapped and sold for child labor, sex, whatever. I just want to say, if you got a chance to go online and do a course, maybe see what the heck's going, you know, see what to look for out here. Cause I was overseas for 6 years, and every chance they had for classes for human trafficking, it's just not here in the United States. It's all over the world. And we got people's got their families being kidnapped. They will not, some of them might see them again. Some of them will never see them again. Some of them kids can't even go back home because they are so ruined. You know what I mean? The people have ruined them.
Sure.
And I want to say this, and I have to go, guys. But I just want to say, be vigilant out there. If you see any kid that's you might think, man, is that kid supposed to be with that person? You could tell. I mean, like, seriously, guys, you could tell. And I want to say, keep your eyes open. Watch a car going by you, especially like vans, stuff like that. If you see a van with a lot of motion going on, if you see a window, there's a lot of people moving around in there. I mean, who cares? Call the cops on them. Call the law enforcement on them. Tell them you've seen suspicious vehicles, got a lot of kids moving around inside there. You know, you never know. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, check out truckersagainsttrafficking.org. That's where that course is that you can get trained up that Tom's talking about there. And, you know, it is human trafficking awareness month here in January. So, Tom, I know that you're on short time and you got to get moving. I appreciate you bringing that up. And I will make sure towards the end of the call here with Brian that I hit on where you can find information about taking those classes and everything again. Okay.
Because I took that class online, and I actually got my certificate turned in to H&M. They couldn't believe I have it. But the law is requiring every trucking company out here to start making that, to be vigilant. Because you're going to watch about, it's going to be about an hour long deal, I think, maybe 30 minutes on the 30-minute video, maybe an hour video. And you take a little small quiz at the end to get your little certificate. But I'm telling you guys, and this is not just for H&M drivers. This is for who's out there listening. I'm serious about these kids, okay? I got two granddaughters. I got a daughter that's 27. I mean, they are taking grown people too, and they're making them do things they don't want to do. You got to stay vigilant. These truck drivers out here. Not everybody's like me and you. You know, not everybody's like me and you. We're out here. We're trying to do everything for our families and all that. There are some sick truck drivers out here. You know what I mean? There really are.
There are. There's sick people everywhere, man. And one bad apple can ruin a whole bunch, unfortunately. So
absolutely.
Great stuff from you, Tom. Listen, I want to thank Tom here because he joined us on short notice. We were down one driver for this interview. Tom, you really came through in the clutch for me again. I appreciate it. And thanks for the message about human trafficking. We'll let you get back to it. I'm going to stay on here with Brian for a couple minutes. Okay?
God bless everybody. I want you to be safe out there, driver. Marcus, we'll holler at you later. You got me anytime you need me, all right?
All right. Sounds good, Tom. Be safe out there.
Bye-bye.
Brings up an interesting question. Have you ever, while you've been out there, because you've been driving since 2001, that's a lot of experience. Have you ever run up against something that you've either reported as or been suspicious of? Might have been like a human trafficking situation?
Yes, I have. Me and my wife, she's been riding with me. We've been driving since 2001 off and on. We took an eight-year break between. But we had an experience one time with human trafficking. We had to call the cops and all that stuff. We got the little girl inside our truck, and my wife was in the sleeper. And we played along, and my wife knew what was going on. We called the cops, and we knew where the guy was around. They called him and come to find out he was trafficking 20 girls.
Whoa. And you guys blew up his spot just by being vigilant and keeping your eyes open.
Well, yeah, you just gotta go with the flow. You just can't, you know, where she's at, just go with the flow and kind of be in a code and just, you know, my wife was in the sleeper at the time. She knew what was going on at the time. And, you know, and you just gotta, give signals and stuff like that. Let her know you're safe in the truck and all that. You can't, it's that, or her, what you want to call it, it's out there watching.
Right.
So you just got to be careful in yourself and careful with her and everything like that. You got to get signals. You mean, that's the whole point.
Sure.
And, you got to be aware out here. I mean, right now, this month, it's bad right now. It's just Amber Alerts we get every day or every other day. The child abduction, you know, they may never see their parents again. I got two close nephews at the house that, gosh, if something happens to them too, it'll tear my heart up. I mean, I can't imagine what's going on right out this world. It's just sick.
Sure. You're right there, man. And you know what? There's one thing that a lot of people will tell other drivers about how, you know, like, how can I help? Well, be the change that you want to see. And you kind of did that there where it's just like, look, I didn't plan for this today. I don't know if there's any way you could have planned for it, but it's happening. And so I'm going to do the right thing is kind of the way
it's
to look
at
it.
It's not girls, it's boys too, because if you go in the men's bathroom, power truck stops, loves, PAs, if you go in the stalls, they got signs up everywhere in the stall. If you feel unsafe, dial this number or star whatever. I mean, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen that more this year than I ever seen the trafficking. It's because my borders being open right now. We got so many people crossing over in our country right now. I mean, this is outrageous.
Sure. Well, again, I want everybody listening, if you're interested in becoming certified like Tom was talking about, it'll help you spot the things like Brian and his wife saw and help you maybe help somebody else, which I know that all of you guys, I talk to enough drivers to know what kind of people I'm talking to. And I know that there's not one of you drivers out there that I've talked to that would turn your back on somebody like this. You would want to help. So head on over to truckersagainsttrafficking.org. Again, we've got January as Human Trafficking Awareness Month. You can get certified over there. You can take the course. You can they'll give you a sticker for the cab of your truck so that if somebody is in need, they can be looking for that sticker and seek you out if you're close by. So all good things. I know Tom wanted to talk about that a little bit more, and we kind of ran out of time on him, but I'm glad that you've got some experience there, Brian, and obviously, you're a good dude, and you're going to help out wherever you can. So, great job out there.
I'm certified, too. I took the course and everything.
Okay.
And it's not a hard course to take. It's great to have under your belt.
I would assume it just tells you a lot of different things to look out for, a lot of different signs or signals that you might look for. Is that kind of how the course shapes up?
Yes. That's the way it was. I mean, when I first took it, I was surprised, you know, when I first took it. And that was years ago when I took it. So I'll still practice it today, you know, no matter where I go.
Yeah. Great stuff, Brian. Well, hey, listen, your first time here on the podcast, I hope it went well. Did you enjoy it?
Yes, Marcus, I enjoyed it real well. I'll be glad to be doing your show in the future if you need me to.
Absolutely. That's Brian Whiteside's H&M driver. Before you go, Brian, I want to give you the opportunity that I give every driver that comes on the podcast here. Is there anything that you would like to say to any of your family that might be listening or any of your fellow drivers or H&M in general? If there is, the floor is yours.
Well, I would say to the H&M drivers, right now we got the winter weather going on right now. I would say use the SMS system. Make sure you have your distance because you never know what's going to happen during this winter weather going on. You want to keep your distance so you can avoid an accident or be safe out there. And to my family, I'm going to say, be home when I can and see y'all and everything.
Brian, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us today, my friend.
All right, Marcus, and I'll see you, talk to you soon.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the H&M Trucking Podcast. Tom Woods and Brian Whiteside's bringing the heat there. Those are great little anecdotes about, first of all, the human trafficking side of things. I really wasn't expecting to get into that today, but I'm glad that Tom brought it up because it is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And that type of thing goes on out there a lot more than any of us realize or want to realize. So make sure to head over to truckersagainsttrafficking.org. If you want to get certified like Tom was talking about, it's easy, it's quick, and you might just save somebody's life, which is a big effing deal these days. I also want to thank Tom and Brian for chatting about electric trucks. I know, like I said in the open, that this is a hot button issue, and there's not a lot of truck drivers out there that are really stoked on it, okay? Even the ones that are driving them, from my experience. And hopefully we'll be able to get on at some point in time a driver that is responsible for testing some of these, because I would like to know from the horse's mouth, even more than we already do, exactly what it's like to get behind the wheel of one of these electric big rigs. So thanks again to those drivers. You know, the clips that we played, I would like to thank Andrew Boyle. He doesn't know we played those clips on this podcast. I would just like to thank him and the American Trucking Association for advocating for the industry, because there are clearly some very confused lawmakers out there. And in California's case, the work's done, man. The ink has been put to paper. They have already passed these laws. And unless there's some sort of appeals process that we can get involved in real quick, California is going to have a real tough realization. Who's going to put all the teddy bears in the Walmarts, man? It ain't going to be the truck drivers, because we don't have the electric trucks to serve your dumb state. Sometimes I really do detest my neighbor from the South, even though I'm a diehard San Francisco 49ers fan. The red and gold is the only thing good to come out of that state in a long time. I mean, I guess there's some good bands too. I'm a real big SoCal skate punk fan, but that hasn't been big for 20 years. So let's not kid ourselves. That's all the time I have for you today. You know what's coming next. Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Thank you for listening to the H&M Trucking Podcast. Please leave a review, subscribe, and connect with Marcus over at the H&M Trucking social media channels. And if you're considering a job at H&M, find us at hmtrucking.com. Until next time, stay safe and ahead of the curve, drivers.